Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we unpack the bombshell Twitter file story with Emma Jo Morris. As always, you can email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast and get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter, start a college chapter today at tpusa.com. Come to America Fest, amfest.com. That is amfest.com, amfest.com. Amfest.com. Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, Greg Gutfeld, Kaylee McEnany, and more. AmericaFest, AmFest.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Friday evening, Elon Musk decided to do a very courageous thing. Friday evening, Elon Musk decided to leak via Matt Taibbi. Leak is not even the right word. Report on, or distribute is probably the better word. What exactly happened in the 2020 election with Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, the Hunter Biden laptop story? What was the role of Twitter in covering up the great story of a generation? And what we now have confirmation, what we have learned, is one of the most unethical, should be illegal, government, private sector operations of collusion that we've ever seen. In the 2016 election, they tried to smear Donald Trump as a Russian agent. The Federal Bureau of Investigation worked with the Dirty Dossier, Department of Justice, Mark Elias, Perkins Coie. That failed. Donald Trump still won. But then they used that to have a fake Russia investigation against Donald Trump. Go on to 2020. It looked like Donald Trump was going to win re-election. But then, of course, remember, the economy got locked down. Fauci infiltrated his way into the White House. And despite all of it, it wasn't a clear shot for the Democrats. They were running up against, they were running someone who was not able to speak in sentences. They were running somebody who was incoherent, unable to campaign. And so as we moved into the 2020 election cycle, we did not know that there was a shadow campaign that was operating. I'm not talking about the Mark Elias shadow campaign of the ballot harvesting, ballot trafficking, lack of signature verification. I'm not talking about the shadow campaign written by Molly Ball in Time magazine. No, I'm talking about the shadow campaign that was 10 months in the making, a year before the Hunter Biden laptop story was reported on. The Federal Bureau of Investigation got their hands on the laptop. And instead of investigating Hunter Biden and Joe Biden for selling out our country, what launched was a preemptive cover-up operation. You see, by giving the laptop to the FBI, some of us thought they did nothing with it. There was a belief that, well, you know, give the laptop, they're going to ignore it. They did the opposite of ignore the Hunter Biden laptop story. It worked up the ranks in the FBI, and they realized that there was a political thermonuclear weapon out there that could prevent Joe Biden from becoming president and that very well might get Donald Trump reelected. They figured and they postulated, the FBI, working with Biden allies, that they probably made a copy of this laptop. It probably was not illegally obtained. So for months, they started to pre-bunk the story. Now, we know this from other sources. We know this because the Missouri Attorney General, Eric Schmidt, has a case against Twitter. And we know that this very deceitful character, Elvis Chan, was coordinating weekly meetings with Twitter. And so this story was already being pre-bunked by our own government in May, in June, July, and August. And of course, in the fall of 2020, the story started to get leaked. Rudy Giuliani said, I found this laptop. I didn't get it illegally, but they were ready. You see, this was not done in panic because the Federal Bureau of Investigation, instead of investigating crimes, they were using their power to protect the Biden campaign. Now, remember, the presidential election of 2020 was decided by 44,000 votes. 155 million ballots cast. It was decided by 44,000 votes in Pennsylvania, in Arizona, and in Georgia. Now, it's important to recognize and to remember that when we thought back, when we think back to the 2020 election, there were repeated instances of the media saying that this was Russian disinformation that has all the hallmark aspects of a Russian disinformation story. Remember this? Play cut two.
The information found on the laptop may be part of a Russian disinformation campaign.
Part of a Russian disinformation effort.
Described by many intelligence experts as having hallmarks.
All the hallmarks of a Russian.
Russian disinformation.
Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage.
There's overwhelming evidence that from the intelligence community that the Russians are engaged.
There was no evidence at all. What there was a plan. Those 51 former intelligence officers all lied. They lied to the media to try to get Joe Biden into power, and it worked. They lied to the general population to get Joe Biden across the finish line. They lied to Twitter. When you lie to the government, it's a felony, and you go to jail. When the government lies to you, it's politics. How do you hold someone accountable that uses their badge, that uses the power at the FBI to interfere with a presidential election? You see, they think they're defending democracy. They've rationalized this all in their head. They believe they're on a moral crusade, that they're willing to do whatever they want, whatever is necessary, no matter how illegal it is. The FBI was never properly held accountable for their fake dossier and spying on Donald Trump in 2016. So why would they stop doing that in 2020? The answer is they didn't. These documents that were released on Friday show us three things. Number one, Democrats, lawmakers, had a back-end access into Twitter and were explicitly demanding more censorship from big tech. Number two, Democrats have an open line to do it, more so than Republicans. For example, censoring the Kayleigh McEnany Twitter account. Number three, Twitter knew it was lying when it censored the Biden story days before the 2020 election, and they didn't care. They thought of themselves as fighting on the right side of history, that this was our crusade for democracy. They had to have a cover-up of the cover-up, and we would not have evidence or confirmation of this if it was not for Elon Musk. I was recently on a television program where someone said, Elon Musk, he's all talk and no action. And this is what bothers me about some conservatives, where you just can't take a win sometimes. It's okay to say, you know what? Yeah, Elon Musk is wrong on China, wrong on Neuralink, but he just gave you the smoking of the smoking gun. He gave you a 4K HD definition Zapruder film. Done with 360 access and drone reconnaissance. He just gave you the most clear and convincing piece of evidence of everything we have been saying the last couple of years. Joe Biden did not legitimately win the 2020 election. Now, many of you say, oh, Charlie, we knew this. No, you knew that with your gut. Now you have the evidence from within the companies themselves. I want to go to cut four, please.
Well, Friday's thread also showcased the messy debate within Twitter whether to suppress the New York Post reporting on Hunter Biden's laptop. It was eventually categorized as a breach of the company's hacked materials policy. Taibbi noted the extraordinary steps taken to stop the story from being shared by the company, marking it unsafe and utilizing a tool reserved for extreme cases like child pornography.
Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. We're about to get started on this story. We are just touching the surface of the implications, the ramifications. We are living under a regime that was implemented, not elected, behind a mass disinformation lie from the largest public square with direct concert, harmony, and collusion with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Hey, everybody, short on gift ideas for people. Well, not everyone wants the new iPhone 27 or whatever number they're on. In fact, a hard and difficult economic year for most has caused essential gifts to be more needed and wanted than ever. Fortunately, you can easily give the most essential gift of all this year, delicious meat. Good Ranchers has gift boxes and gift cards so you can give America's best meat and seafood this Christmas. Look, I love Good Ranchers, and with discounts on orders of 5 boxes or more, you can save on gifts for the whole family or your business. When you get someone a box of Good Ranchers, you're giving them more than the best meat they've ever had. You're giving a true steakhouse experience with 100% American, USDA, and upper choice cuts of beef, chicken, and seafood. You're sure to beat out the new socks and regifted candles for the best gift of the year. Head on over to goodranchers.com and use promo code Kirk at checkout for $35 off your delicious gift of meat. If you know someone that likes meat, then you know someone who will love Good Ranchers. Your gift goes further with them because they take the premium price out of premium meats. Go to goodranchers.com and find the perfect box for you or a loved one in the curated selection of hand-trimmed meat and seafood. Give the best meat in America and support local U.S. farms and get $35 off your essential gift with my code Kirk today. The FBI was intimately involved in making sure the correct people knew at Twitter that this story was coming in to set the standard, to lay the foundation to be able to censor the story. I want to get to a piece of tape here. Boy, there's so much tape to play. Do you remember in one of the most famous, consequential, transparent, chilling, alarming interviews in recent history? Remember when Chuck Schumer, went on the Rachel Maddow program? This was right before Donald Trump was sworn into president. I think it was January 4th, 2017. The date does matter because remember, that's right near the famous Oval Office meeting between Joe Biden and Loretta Lynch and Barack Hussein Obama, January 3rd, 2017. Thank you. And Chuck Schumer, you just a visual. He's leaning in. He's got his glasses on his nose. And he has that snarly, intense, but almost mafioso tone to him. You feel as if he's almost bragging about an upcoming hit that a mob family has on an unsuspecting bystander. The arrogance. That's not even the right word. The arrogance. It's the confidence he has. The hubris, the smugness of which, you know, Donald Trump pretends to be such a businessman. But he should know better because you're about to pick a fight you won't win. Play cut 13.
You take on the intelligence community. They have 6 ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
That's a threat. And that's Chuck Schumer giving a preview, giving a little bit of a teaser campaign, if you will, of what happens when you try to destroy or you try to criticize the intelligence community. You see, Donald Trump got elected and went after the very core of the deep state, went after the spine of the entire corrupt body of Washington, D.C. And they fought back and they fought back and they spied on him. They leaked against him. And then when it was time to cover the Hunter Biden laptop story, instead the FBI covered it up and let people know this was coming. Let's go to cut 8. Emma Jo Morris, who's going to join this program in a little bit, lays out the 3 ways the FBI was colluding with big tech to suppress the Hunter Biden laptop story. Play cut 8.
We know for a fact that the intelligence community was briefing these social media companies, Twitter included, in the months and prior to the election. And first of all, obviously, you have Mark Zuckerberg, who was on the Joe Rogan Experience, who said it straight up. Yoel Roth was said under sworn testimony that he had been briefed at Twitter by the FBI. And then we also have the FBI agent that Fox News reported on Saturday told attorneys general from Missouri and Louisiana that they were briefing big tech every single week in anticipation of this.
The FBI was more concerned, more worried, more focused on trying to prevent the distribution of an unfavorable story to Joe Biden than child sex trafficking, money laundering. The FBI was actively involved in covering up the truth, using their badges, their titles, their prestige, and their power. They would have weekly meetings at Twitter. And so when it became time, when it was finally the moment when Twitter had to make a decision, Twitter decided to suppress the whole thing, to cover it up. And then you had this baseless story that was written in Politico of 51 intelligence officers that lied under oath. Now, on this program, we were trying to tell people that the story does not actually say what these intelligence officers said. Now, these intelligence officers lied, but they lied small in their own eyes. Because if you actually read the original Politico story, I think it's by Natasha, whatever her name is, the original Politico story, it says that it has the hallmarks of a Russian disinformation campaign. Then the media took that and said that, well, this is likely Russian disinformation. And then their surrogates took it and said that it is Russian disinformation. Look, I love fall food, football, fall recipes, church gatherings, Thanksgiving, and of course, Christmas is around the corner. The food is amazing. The problem is there's no room sometimes for fruits or veggies. It's a serious problem. And as you know, you need to get your nutrition. Seriously, if I had to choose between steamed cabbage or a beautiful juicy burger, I mean, come on, I'm going to pick the burger. Well, look, I've got a secret weapon for you to be able to get your fruits and vegetables. It happens quickly. It's amazing. And I still have room for 31, that's right, 31 whole fruits and veggies because I get them all from Balance and Nature. Now, I'm not suggesting you eat with reckless abandon. What I'm recommending is that you make sure you don't deprive your body of what it truly needs, the maximum nutrition found in Balance of Nature fruits and veggies in a capsule. I want you to experience the Balance of Nature difference for a limited time. All new and preferred customers receive an additional 35% discount, free shipping on your Balance of Nature order, and use discount code CHARLIE. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com. Use discount code CHARLIE. That is balanceofnature.com. You guys get all your fruits and veggies. These capsules are great. They're easy to take. Balanceofnature.com, discount code CHARLIE. That is balanceofnature.com, discount code CHARLIE. I have the capsules right near me. You guys will love it. Balanceofnature.com, discount code CHARLIE. Joining us now is Emma Jo Morris, one of the original people who broke the Hunter Biden laptop story. She broke the original October 14th story, which I'll never forget that day because that's my birthday. And she's formerly with the New York Post, and she's the political editor at Breitbart, Breitbart.com, and does a wonderful job. Emma Jo, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And what a crazy thing that that's your birthday. I never knew that.
Isn't that nuts? Yeah.
I will personally never forget your birthday.
There you go. It is a day that will always be remembered. So why don't we go back in time? Let's talk about my birthday 2 years ago. I'm kidding. What happened that day? What was the significance of that day? The story you broke and then the reaction that happened after.
Yeah, well, so I was, me and Miranda kind of broke the story together, and we worked together a lot behind the scenes to get it to the pages of the New York Post. But I broke the news side story, and Miranda wrote the column that went with it. On October 14th, we broke the first story in the series that is now known as The Laptop from Hell.
So your story then triggered Twitter censoring for 16 days, right, from October 14th. To October 30th. So basically the real meat of the election, when things are really being discussed and, you know, real decisions are being made. So talk about that. What was the reason they gave you why they locked your account at the time?
So there was two separate things that were kind of going on simultaneously. The first was the censorship of the story, where, as we learned this weekend, that Twitter had applied the rules to the New York Post story about the laptop from hell, as they would for child porn on the site. That was what Matt Taibbi, one of the revelations that he had in his Twitter thread about the internal communications of Twitter at that time. So they were treating the New York Post link to the story like child porn. And at the same time as doing that, they had locked the New York Post out of their official Twitter account. And that was what went on for 16 days. The New York Post did not have access to its Twitter account. It could not tweet from its account because it refused to delete the original link of the story, which is what got it locked in the first place.
Yeah. And so The new narrative by the media is that we didn't learn anything new from these Twitter files. That's not true. We now have a smoking gun of exactly how entrenched the FBI is into Twitter. Talk about that.
Well, so actually that that specific point has not really been illuminated by anything that's been released by Elon Musk, unfortunately. That point has been made in other ways. So there's two reasons why, which you played in your last segment that I said earlier on War Room, that we know this. There's three reasons that we know this. The first is, like I said, Mark Zuckerberg from Meta, as you all know, he's the CEO of Meta, Facebook, Instagram. He said on the Joe Rogan podcast about a month ago that the intelligence community was meeting with Meta and briefing them on disinformation or whatever, giving them advice about how to censor, basically, and what to censor. That is one point. The second point is that Miranda Devine reported this in the New York Post this morning, that Yoel Roth, the head of trust and safety at Twitter, testified under oath that he was having meetings with the FBI and the intelligence community about censorship. And the third thing is that the attorneys general of Missouri and Louisiana were told, and also under oath by an FBI official, that they had been meeting with Silicon Valley companies, big tech companies, Twitter and Facebook, in the lead up to the election, at first once a month, and then those meetings escalated to once a week in the lead up to the election, with the conversation of censorship and misinformation. Misinformation is fancy for censorship. Whatever they want to censor, they call it misinformation. Who is the arbiter of misinformation? It's simply not the government. And unless they had proof of any sort of intelligence operation from a foreign country, which they did not, because this was not an intelligence operation from a foreign country, there would be no reason to be having this conversation unless they're trying to violate the First Amendment.
So Brandi Zadrozny went on MSNBC, and she says the Twitter files are helpful because they show how Twitter was made safe and healthy prior to the 2020 election. I'm going to play this piece of tape. This is a reporter who's saying, this is so helpful because we can see how censorship made America a better place. They are bragging about this. Play cut five.
We now know it was a really helpful thing, actually, the Twitter files today, because we got to see how content moderation works. We got to see how when a group of people with differing political ideas and ideologies and views gets together in the spirit of making a platform safe and healthy, and right before an election, right when we knew, we had just learned of like the hack and leaks and WikiLeaks and all the stuff that that did to hurt and to affect the 2016 election. In 2020, they were heightened, right? People were trying to do the right thing inside Twitter.
So Emma, that doesn't make a lot of sense, obviously. So we knew the Twitter files actually told us that they knew that this was not hacked material, right?
That's it. Like, this woman is so delusional and she's such a dope. It's only MSNBC that would put on a person so out of touch with reality. But no. So what the Twitter files did reveal, which I thought was really interesting, and I wrote about this on Breitbart, is they revealed a level of willful ignorance that I don't think we knew going into this. I was kind of thinking, you know, aside from obviously the advice from the FBI and the intelligence community, that a lot of these people were just kind of ideologues, and that they just, you know, their knee-jerk reaction, which is still true, is, oh, this came from right-wing media. There must be something nefarious going on, and we just need to figure out what it is. But in the meantime, we'll censor it. But no, that wasn't it. So Jim Baker is the deputy counsel at Twitter at this time. And you see him come up in these emails that Matt Taibbi tweeted over the weekend. And he is a familiar name to many in right-wing media because he is the central character from the Russia hoax from his former job at the FBI. Mm-hmm. So he fell up from the FBI after doing the Russia collusion narrative, and he went over to Twitter, and that's his new job. And that's where you find him now. So you see him in these emails, and he's saying something to the effect of, you know, there's reason to believe that this was a hack and leak or whatever. And the reason why that is so disingenuous and fake is because as a former member of the FBI and a senior former member of the FBI, he would have been familiar with a key document that the New York Post published in that first story, mm-hmm. which was the federal subpoena that was given to John Paul MacIsaac, the original source of the laptop, when he turned it over to the FBI a year before the New York Post or Rudy Giuliani was ever involved with this. He turned it over to the FBI initially when Hunter had not picked it up after 90 days. He said to himself, I have something really sketchy in my hands and I want law enforcement to know about it and I want them in possession of it. So he called the FBI. The FBI comes, takes the original laptop. They, in return, give him a federal subpoena to basically confirm receipt of that laptop. And he kept that subpoena. And he gave that subpoena to the New York Post, which was what part of how we verified that this story was real. And we published that in the New York Post in that first story that they're talking about in these Twitter files that we saw this weekend. So if you're going to tell me that Jim Baker, a former senior member of the FBI, was not familiar with that document, I have a bridge to sell you. That is an absolute lie. He knew exactly what he was looking at and he chose to ignore it and instead pretend that he thought it could have been hacked. He knew it wasn't hacked. And he knew that the FBI had everything that I had.
No, they knew it wasn't hacked, but they knew that if they didn't say it was hacked or at least allude to it, that Joe Biden wouldn't have become president. It's that simple.
Yeah, they're clowns. They're clowns. And they were doing this on purpose.
And because of the way elections work, they're now willing to take the hit now because they knew it, right, Emma Joe? So they knew that, okay, this is bad what we're doing. We just have to get past this certain date. Once we get past this date, it's going to come out eventually. We'll smear it. We'll slander it. Our allies in the media will try to change the topic, but we're willing to do it because, in my opinion, the FBI, we know the FBI got the laptop in 2019. They went through it. Mm-hmm. And somebody, we don't know who yet, connected the dots. Probably Christopher Wray, by the way. Christopher Wray was probably like, okay, this thing could end the Biden campaign. Period. So then they start to send out FBI emissaries to Twitter and to Facebook. In fact, let's play this tape. Mark Zuckerberg telling Joe Rogan the FBI kept on showing up to Facebook. Play cut one.
I mean, basically the background here is the FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team. It was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. There was we thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump of that's similar to that. So just be vigilant.
Emma Jo, be vigilant.
It's so casual. Oh, yeah, you know, the FBI just kind of came by and they said, just so you know, be vigilant.
They went on a pre-bunk tour is what they did. They went on an entire tour to every major social media company basically saying, hey, not that we're the FBI or that we know anything, but if something pops up and we call you, you guys got to censor it. And of course, the FBI is not just doing that. The FBI is also alluding, because this is how they work, to Zuckerberg. While Zuckerberg, by the way, is under investigation from the Federal Trade Commission for monopolistic power. So, of course, Facebook is going to take the meeting and they're probably like, well, we're going to do whatever they ask us to do because we don't want to lose our monopoly status with the FTC. And then there you go.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Of course. And they're happy to, because the truth is they're in Silicon Valley. And if they hear censor something bad about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, it's like, oh, you know, don't twist my arm. Of course. But this gives them the predicate to justify it, which is this is an intelligence threat or whatever. But, you know, the irony is the intelligence threat was actually the intelligence community.
Rents are soaring at unprecedented highs. If you're renting or have a friend or family member that is, now is a great time to make the move to homeownership. Look, you got to own. Renting, that's great reset stuff. Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian at Sierra Pacific Mortgage have helped so many people make that leap from renting to owning, with lots of programs that offer first-time buyers assistance with little to no down payment needed. I encourage you right now to visit my buddies, their website. They're great guys. They're Christians. They're conservatives. They love the Lord. AndrewandTodd.com right now. The thing I love about these guys is it's not about the transaction. They're helping you create a plan to help you reach your goals, give them a call or go to their website, andrewandtodd.com. With today's still historically low interest rates, it's easier than you think to become a homeowner. I've relied on them, and producer Andrew has as well. I highly recommend you take action now. And if you know someone paying rent, tell them about Andrew and Todd. Go to andrewandtodd.com and tell them the Charlie Kirk Show sent you. Did they break any laws? Because if they didn't, then, I mean, come on. They didn't just interfere with. They changed a result of a presidential election. That's high crimes and misdemeanors.
I mean, listen, Charlie, I'm not a lawyer, you know, so I can't speak to crime breaking and stuff like that. But I'm a journalist, so I can speak to, you know, what I think is at least a violation of the spirit of the First Amendment. You know, the whole contract of being an American citizen and why it's so desired all throughout the world is that, you know, you get free access to information. You have free flow of information. Journalists can write what they want and you can read what you want. You inform yourself and then you go cast a ballot every cycle when you want to choose your president. You know, it's pretty simple. You don't have to get deep. And this so flagrantly and clearly violated that promise and that contract. So I can't tell you the legality of it, to be honest, but I can tell you that it just so disrespects the American people in a way that if it's not illegal, it ought to be. And I hope that's something that Congress really is able to focus on is what happened here was egregious and revolting. And we know that. That's obvious. And it was something that should never happen in America. It was so third world in so many ways, from the type of corruption that we're talking about to the way that it was treated in the media and on social media platforms, and then by the intelligence community as well. And that deserves to be looked at in terms of reform. And so if it's not illegal, it definitely should be. And there should be legislation passed to protect those rights and to protect that spirit.
The people at CNN are saying that, look, what the Twitter files really show us is the struggle. The struggle is real. How they struggled with this, how they struggled with interfering with people's ability to make informed choices in a presidential election.
Actually, like literally the exact opposite of that. What struck me was how not a single person in management, all you had was Ro Khanna kind of writing in being like, hey, you know, this raises alarm about the First Amendment. But no one person in Twitter management raised alarm for even a minute to say, hey, what if this is like real journalism coming from a mainstream outlet, the New York Post, that's owned by Rupert Murdoch and News Corp and is a totally legitimate news source? What if we're making a mistake? There was not one person. And, you know, it's so gross because aside from the fact that it just is, but, you know, these companies are so stupid because they pride themselves on diversity. And, you know, you always hear this preaching about diversity and diversity. And I know this is like a little bit cliche, but they really do like take people of different sexual orientations and races and genders and all of these stupid and superficial immutable characteristics that have nothing to do with anything. But they will refuse to take a single person who thinks in diversity, you know, and who thinks in ways that are diverse, you know, and you so saw that. I found that so striking and such a buried lead in this is that not one person, not one, was like, hey, maybe we should cool the jets on this for like a day and see if we can, you know, maybe call the New York Post, call the editor in chief, call Rupert Murdoch and inquire about what's going on here and how they obtain this information. I mean, you know, and that was just really interesting to me. Like these people are an information platform and they have zero interest in information.
At Twitter, it's very similar to college campuses. They want everyone to look different but think the same. That's their idea of diversity. What do you hope Barry Weiss gets to?
FBI. That's it. FBI. I want to know what were those briefings about and what were they talking about in those briefings? What were the notes? What were the minutes from those meetings? And what were they talking about amongst each other in reflecting on that information? Were they skeptical at all? of a group of spies walking into their office and saying, hey, this is what we want you to take down. This is information that we don't think people deserve to read. Was there any criticism? Was there any conversation? Was there any skepticism at all whatsoever? And what was said? What was the extent of the involvement of the FBI and the intelligence community in this? That is the most disgusting corner of this story. And I am really curious about those answers.
Mm-hmm. Emma Jo, great work. Thank you so much.
Thanks. See ya.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.